Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning, everyone. You won't believe what happened to an on-the-media producer at the U.S.-Canadian border and what they won't tell her about Border Patrol policy. We will ask for your help finding out in just a minute as Brooke Gladstone will join us. Just want to say, though, before we get going, that this is the last day of the membership drive. I want to back up what Sotirios and Jody were just saying and thank everybody who's donated so far this fall and this year. And we have a member challenge. That means other members like you have pitched in, and they're offering to add $1 for every $2 that you pledge. It's the WNYC Member Challenge. People who are members of WNYC and have donated a little extra above their membership to create this fund for the last day of the drive so that they will add half again over whatever you pledge during the Brian Lehrer Show right now. 1-888-376-WNYC. Help us take the full generosity of those members, and hopefully you will be generous as a listener member of WNYC for the first time or with a renewal. Thanks a lot, everybody. Last morning of the drive. Get it all in. We're going to get to Brooke right now, but here's the phone number, 1-888-376-WNYC, 888-376-9692, or pledge online at WNYC.org. And thank you, thank you, thank you. So as I said, you won't believe what happened to an on-the-media producer at the U.S.-Canadian border. Good morning, Brooke Gladstone, host and on-the-media managing editor.
Good morning, Brian.
So this is about one of your producers who was coming home from her cousin's wedding in Canada through Niagara Falls.
Right.
And?
She's an American citizen. She was with a bunch of other American citizens, friends and family. They were stopped at the border, held for 6 hours, kept in a cold room, which is a standard practice at a lot of these ports of entry. It's called the icebox. Their devices were confiscated. They were probably searched. We don't really know. And they were terrorized. And while they were doing that, right across the country in Detroit, other friends and family, other American citizens
coming home from the same wedding
from
in
the
Canada.
Same wedding in Toronto went through the exact same ordeal. What is the why? One can only surmise it's because they are of Libyan descent. And, the women wore headscarves, that this was going on. I joked with Sarah that it's because she was from a very hot, parched land with oil and lots of guns. And she said, Texas? Because that's actually where she's from.
Ha, ha, ha. So how long were they held?
6 hours.
6 hours.
With children, very small children. In the case of the car in Detroit, it was a two-year-old child. The father was taken away, and the father was not allowed to rejoin the family because another agency was coming to pick him up.
Did they have valid passports?
They had valid passports. They had all their documentation, as any American citizen usually does.
Were they doing anything suspicious?
I think they were driving while being Muslim.
And how long were they held?
They, like I said, one was held for 6 hours in Detroit. They were held for five and a half hours.
So after
it doesn't sound that horrible unless you actually hear a detailed description of how they were treated and what they were led to believe might happen to them just by dint of the fact that they were told nothing. They were told nothing about why they were being detained. They were told variously about whether or not their devices would be searched. They were told when they were separated and put in different places. They weren't told why. They were constantly body searched, even though they hadn't gone anywhere and hadn't done anything and hadn't had the opportunity to obtain a weapon in between body searches. It just seemed like some sort of weird college behavioral experiment.
So after Sarah got home here to New York, she started doing what a journalist does. Call the agency to find out the policy and underpinnings of how a group of U.S. citizens with valid passports, not doing anything suspicious, could be detained for hours on end, re-entering the country from Canada. And what did she find out?
Well, she found out nothing. And we're talking about not just making a call. We're talking about making dozens of calls, emails to the press office, to the administrative offices, to somebody who might know something, promises of conversation, and then back and forth. She did manage to reach one person and recorded that conversation, but it was less than satisfying.
Frustrating, to say the least. And so here is a clip of On the Media producer Sarah Abdurrahman from the piece you produced about this. Sarah is on the phone with a public relations spokesperson from the Department of Homeland Security trying to find out what the policy is for how U.S. citizens may be treated at the border when they are not suspected of doing anything wrong.
For weeks, I've been trying, unsuccessfully, to get someone from CBP or DHS headquarters to respond to direct questions about detainment policies. During my detainment, I tried asking the guy in charge, Supervisor McPherson, why we were held for so long. He said it wasn't my right to know. I asked him the names of the agents who interacted with us while we were detained, and was once again told it wasn't my right to know. Earlier this week, I called Richard Misdell, the public affairs liaison at the Buffalo Service Port, and asked him if McPherson's response was in line with CBP policy.
You know, in a situation like that, normally we would provide the names of the officers, but in this instance, he did give you his name, so.
Well, he didn't give me his name. I wrote it down because he was facing me and I could write it down. He wouldn't give me his first name. When I asked for the names of the other agents, they turned around so I couldn't write their names down. Mm-hmm. Is it against CBP policy for U.S. citizens to have the names of the agents they interact with?
I would have to investigate that for you. I wouldn't want to speculate.
So you don't know?
I'd have to investigate that for you.
Is it the CBP policy not to inform people of why they're being held for extended periods of time?
Each situation is different. To try to make a statement broad enough to cover all would be, you know, asinine. There's no way that could be done.
On the Media producer, Sarah Abdurrahman, on the phone with a Homeland Security spokesman. Wow, Brooke Gladstone, why so secretive?
One doesn't know. The fact of the matter is that the Customs and Border Patrol Agency is basically the largest law enforcement body in the country right now, and it grew incredibly quickly. And as a result, it has no effective oversight. You just can't keep your arms around an organization that employs over 58,000 people. And it's just part of a much larger organization, the Department of Homeland Security, that has immense reach everywhere and dozens of subsidiary agencies underneath it. And who has control or oversight over DHS? That would be the U.S. Congress. But Congress has divided that control among 100 subcommittees that just get into each other's way. And so even just dealing with the part about citizens' rights, and all we wanted to do as a show was to continue to pursue Sarah's questions. What are the rights at the border? They do have a pledge they have posted on the wall about keeping people informed and treating them courteously. None of that happened. But a pledge is not a right. It's not a policy.
And
so
you,
what is that?
And you can't even find out, as On the Media journalists,
no,
what the policy is for when an American citizen with a U.S. passport not doing anything suspicious can be detained and how they can be treated.
Nor can you find any data about people who are detained for, you know, 6 hours or who have their devices searched. They say that of the more than a million people that come through the border every day, about 15 people get their devices searched. If that's the case, then the two cars holding Sarah's friends and family in Niagara Falls and Detroit accounted for all of them that day. So it's a little hard to believe. That is why we created this tool, and that's why I'm here right now.
And that's where we come, listeners, to the part that I started out with at the top of the hour, that we will ask for your help for On the Media in finding out what the policy is.
Exactly.
For how American citizens with valid passports who are not doing anything suspicious may be treated.
A pure journalistic question.
This
is not even advocacy. This is pure journalism. In fact, we did have two reporters on who cover these agencies all the time who said they've been increasingly stonewalled over the last year, and now they can't even get basic information that used to be freely available to them before, even about things like public policy, things that should be public. So we have created this tool. If you go to our website, you will see our special project called Shed Light on DHS. You just click onto that, and then you're at a tool. What it will do is connect you with your representative's office if they serve on one of the two of the 100 subcommittees that we chose that supposedly oversee directly citizens' rights. And then you will ask them a series of questions. And what we hope is that you, as a constituent or as a citizen, will have more luck than we have as journalists to get this basic information. And then you report back to us. We've even written the questions for you. You don't have to follow our questions, but they're three very basic questions. We make the phone call. You click it. You give us your number. You'll hear a canned me saying thank you for participating. We'll connect you. If you don't have a representative on one of those committees, we'll connect you with a representative who is on one of those committees who you are not directly a constituent of.
And you can find this tool on our page, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehr Show. We've linked to it.
Excellent. Thank you.
Or you can go to On the Media's website, onthemedia.org.
Shed light on DHS.
But if you're used to going to our page at this time of day, WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehr Show, and you'll see all the On the Media tool information. And to set this up just a little bit more, you had a good source to go to ask, well, how can we get basic information about Homeland Security policy?
That's right.
From the Congress people who oversee it. You went to former Congressman Lee Hamilton, vice chairman of the 9/11 Commission.
And also currently a member of the U.S. Homeland Security Advisory Council.
Listen.
Is there any particular committee, given that there are so many, that would be most likely to respond to something like this?
That would not be easy to do with the current proliferation. What I would do is go through my congressman, and that's what your people ought to do, because then the congressman can guide you to the proper committee. Pressure, that's what you have to do. You have to create pressure in the Congress and pressure against the DHS to perform properly. That's part of the process. It happens every single day, or at least it should, in a representative democracy.
He sounded like he was on your side.
He is. And as is Tom Kaine, the other who's a former governor of New Jersey and another person on this advisory committee who has himself been forced to sit for hours while friends of his, who are American citizens, many of them, you know, some of them, one of them in particular, a very prominent American, was stuck there while some guy is, you know, saying, well, we have to wait 4 hours for the guy to come in to ask you questions. On what basis, on what grounds? You don't have to know. And that's the basic thing here. We're talking about just understanding basic American rights. And we have a wonderfully active and engaged listenership. And so we've done this before. We've tried to find out answers, and we have basically crowdsourced Capitol Hill with people who are listening right now. And it's worked, because sometimes just being a reporter is not enough. In fact, it may actually work against you.
There goes On the Media, crowdsourcing Capitol Hill again. And to access this tool and be part of that crowdsource, or just to check it out and see what the heck we're talking about, go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehr Show. Sarah's story is called My Detainment Story, or How I Learned to Stop Feeling Safe in My Own Country and Hate Border Agents. You can hear it and related material and access On the Media's Department of Homeland Security Transparency tool on our show page, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehr Show. OTM host and managing editor, Brooke Gladstone. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehr on WNYC. Still to come today, what will change for your buses and subways under the new mayor? Kai Wright and Emma Keller on their WNYC special about DNA. They'll examine a proposal for every baby born in New York City to have their genome sequenced and their parents given the information. Good idea or bad? Plus, your iPhone may stop working well just as the latest model is released. Brooke, that's an On the Media story. And a round of Brian Lehr Show Advice Roulette. Call in to get a piece of advice from a fellow listener, as long as you're willing to give one too. Stay with us.